Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Do you know what that certified organic label on your food really means? Learn all about that label and why organic is worth it at stonyfield.com. We're proud to be making organic yogurt and honored to support living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
One of the reasons we love radio, the pictures are terrific. And according to writer Susan Edmonds Richman, a poem can also be a portal to the mind's eye.
Poetry is it's a very compressed form. It can capture a moment very precisely and concisely. Poetry can be very experiential. You want to invite the reader to experience the experience that you've had and to be drawn to the same, to an epiphany. It might actually not be the same conclusion or epiphany as you are in, but that you're not telling the reader what to think. You're drawing them in and letting them have your experience and having it for themselves.
Well, since April is National Poetry Month, we've asked some bards to help us commemorate the craft and read from their work. Poet Susan Edmonds Richman offered us A Flight of Fancy.
I love writing about birds. I write a lot about birds and their places. And this particular place is Newburyport. A lot of birds come to winter in coastal Massachusetts that you don't really see the rest of the year. And that's true of these two species of birds. This is the Lapland longspur and the horned lark. And we saw a field of horned larks, and there was this one bird that was clearly not a horned lark. The horned lark does have these little tufts that looks like it has little horns, and it has a very black V on its chest. In the wintertime, the longspur is very nondescript. It's just kind of a buffy colored. And in this poem, I describe some of its markings that are just beginning to come into view as it's the end of the season. Longspur in a field with larks. Won't distinguish himself. Doesn't want to. Is perfectly content to be whatever the situation requires. Would sprout horns if he could. Tumbling over this invented tundra after the seething, rearranging texture of lemon vests, darkling V's, he takes the low drafts in the same easy wheel, though more timid. Hides behind one of two white stones, scurries to a slanted slate, descends into scooped hollows to shimmy-shake sand from his wings. In another week, he won't be able to hide brown stripes sharpening against buff, the telltale throats slow darkening, chestnut blush already coming up under the collar. Wrong place, right time, but soon where to? Rejoin his kind on breeding fields under high Arctic sun. Farewell to the abetting larks, who remain indifferent to his difference, until this winter sojourn ends and all true colors are revealed.
Susan Edmonds Richman reading her poem, Longspur in a Field with Larks. She's a founding member of the Concord Poetry Center. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Jessica Elise Kern, Ingrid Lobet, and Helen Palmer, with help from Megan Miner, Gabriella Romano, and Sammy Souza. Our interns are Mary Bates and Sophie Golden. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. You can find this anytime at loe.org. And don't forget our Facebook page. It's PRI's Living on Earth. And you can follow us on Twitter at Living on Earth. That's just one word. Steve Kerwood is our executive producer. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science. And Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield invites you to just eat organic for a day. Details at justeatorganic.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Go Forward Fund, and Pax World Mutual and Exchange Traded Funds, integrating environmental, social, and governance factors into investment analysis and decision making. On the web at paxworld.com. Pax World for tomorrow.
PRI, Public Radio International.